You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host here, Colton Molesky, bringing you daily Timberwolves content. Make sure to check out the LockedOn.com website. It's a convenient place to find all of your NBA, MLB, NFL, and college content from the Locked On Network. Fantastic hosts from all over the country bringing you great content every single day. Make sure to go check out the website. It's a convenient place to not only find this podcast, but maybe a podcast that you haven't fallen in love yet, maybe other podcasts that you already know you love and want to go check out. Great spot to find all of that right there on our website. Also, make sure after you're done listening to this to check out the Locked On NBA podcast. It's a great way to stay up to date with the league you love to watch so very much. Today we're going to be prepping you. I'm going to be prepping you for the San Antonio Spurs. They're coming to town. It is it's the beginning of a tough. It feels like it should be a tough road trip, or excuse me, a home stand for the Timberwolves. We'll get into that in a second, but we'll be preparing you for, I don't know why I keep saying we. I'm going to be preparing you for the Spurs game as best as I am able, and then I'm going to get to some predictions at the end of the show. But first, let's talk a quick second about this homestand for the Timberwolves. So the Timberwolves are going to be taking on the San Antonio Spurs, the Boston Celtics, and the Houston Rockets are their next three games, spanning just under a week. They take on the Spurs tonight, of course. They take on the Celtics on Saturday, and then they are taking on the Rockets on Monday. Now, if you're just going by name value, or if you're going and looking at some of the guys on these rosters, it seems like this should be a pretty intimidating road trip. I mean, you've got LaMarcus Aldridge, DeMar DeRozan on the Spurs. You've got Kyrie Irving, Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, Al Horford, Jason Tatum on the Celtics, with maybe the best looking bench unit in the entire NBA for them. And on that's the Saturday game. And then on Monday, you have James Harden coming to town, the MVP from last season, Clint Capella, Eric Gordon. Just looking at the rosters, looking at the names of these teams, they look pretty intimidating. Then you go to the records. San Antonio is 10-10, Boston's 11-10, the Rockets are 9-10. None of these teams are exactly the world beaters they have been in the past or were expected to be. Obviously, San Antonio bitten real bad by the injury bug as of late. They can't even get to the season healthy with Lonnie Walker and DeJounte Murray going down before the season starts. And then Paul Gasol goes out during the season. It's a real bummer for them because their team actually looked pretty interesting with all those assets there around DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge. Now they're just struggling through the season, going up and down throughout the season. And then you've got the Rockets, who have bailed out on some pieces from last season and coming into this season, hoping that Carmelo Anthony could shift into a different kind of player than he's been the last few years, hasn't worked out for them, and haven't been able to replicate the same kind of defense without all the array of assets that they had on their team last year, not coming over this year, haven't been able to replicate the same kind of defense, haven't been able to find the same kind of spark that they did last year. And the Celtics, just maybe a little bit of an embarrassment of riches. Too many good players, not enough minutes, and not enough basketballs on the court for all this talent that maximized with the, or impacted by also the fact that, I mean, Gordon Hayward has just been a shell of himself this season, a shell of his former self. So a bunch of problems with the Celtics offense. And then you look at the Timberwolves and you say, well, I mean, they've had their struggles. They've had their defensive woes. They've had some controversy. They have new guys on this roster. Seems like Wiggins is in a slump. You're not sure what's going on with the point guards. You know that Derrick Rose is really good right now and really hot and been playing amazing. You know that Teague is having a down year offensively, down year scoring, down year in shooting efficiency, but he's also one of the best assisting guards in the NBA right now. I mean, you have to play both point guards really if you want the maximum out of them, because it's not like Derrick Rose's assist rate is exactly blowing you off the stat sheet. But at the same time, you also need to try and work in minutes for their wings, because now they have an actually pretty impressive group of wings with Dario Saric, with Covington, and Okogie. You want to see him get minutes, but wait, what about Tyus Jones? The Timberwolves, I don't think it's the same situation as the Celtics, but there are a few guys they're still figuring out and adjusting to this new team. I know they've had Covington and Saric for a few games now, but they're still figuring out the best ways to deploy them. They're still figuring out the best lineups, the best way to disperse minutes. I mean, you look at all four of these teams that are playoff teams, and obviously the regression from the Celtics and the Rockets are probably the most surprising, and the Spurs is the most explainable with the injuries. But all of these playoff teams are in a bit of a down spiral, but they all have clear assets to pull them out of that spiral. Clear paths where if they just put a couple pieces around X, then they can really explode and be play not only playoff teams, but really maximize the full potential on the roster. And so that's for the next week. That's going to be kind of the theme, because it's going to come up talking about all these teams. How do they get to that point where they can really maximize what they have and bring back some of the magic from last year and make the playoffs? And I think there's a roadmap for each and every one of these teams. And the big thing for the Timberwolves throughout the next 5 days will be, how do they find that formula to get them there, and how do they keep their opponent from finding that formula against the Timberwolves? Because for all these teams, their coaches are just too good, right? Popovich, D'Antoni, Brad Stevens, their coaches are just too good not to figure out how to get this team clicking and how to get their players in the best position to succeed possible. They're just, all these coaches are really good. And I don't believe that this lasts for any of them. Except maybe the Spurs have problems. I mean, but even the Spurs, they're going to get, hopefully, Lonnie Walker back soon. Guys will come back from injury. For all these teams, I don't think there's a way that these coaches don't figure out some formula, some way to work out their lineups and their rosters and what's going on with their teams to get them back to max potential. The thing about it is that for the next 5 days, you want the Timberwolves to make sure they're not the team that people look back to in a month and say, oh yeah, that was the game against the Timberwolves where the Celtics really put this together and put that in that spot, and now they're clicking and they've wrapped off 10 straight wins or something like that. You don't want it to be your team that that's against. So for the next 5 days at least, for the next five or six or whatever it is days, you want to make sure that the Timberwolves aren't that team that gives that up. And so we're going to start out with the Spurs. How can the Spurs make sure, or how can the Timberwolves make sure the Spurs don't find something in that formula to get them back on track and get them to consistency? And the Spurs are a little bit of a confusing team. I know they've had injuries. Again, a lot of this is going to be prefaced with they've had a lot of injuries. You kind of almost have to give them a pass. Not only can they not bring Kawhi Leonard, the guy who is supposed to herald in this new decade, right? You kind of think, well, Duncan, Ginobili, Parker, they were part of this old regime of Spurs teams that were really successful, and then they drafted this guy out of San Diego State in Kawhi Leonard, who people really knocked for his shot. They fixed his shot. They made him a all-NBA defensive player. They made him a title or a finals MVP level player. And now that Duncan, now that Ginobili, now that Parker have been filing out over the years, now this is Kawhi Leonard's team. This is the next era of Spurs basketball is going to be led and championed by Kawhi Leonard. And that obviously goes sideways. You guys know what happened last year. That goes sideways. He's out the door. Now there's a little bit of a what does the next leg of the Spurs look like? We've got DeMar DeRozan, who is an all-star level player. We have LaMarcus Aldridge. We seem to fix the rift between the Spurs and LaMarcus Aldridge. Now we're going forward with these young guys. There's going to be not a rebuild process because that kind of assumes that you're not winning as much. But you kind of expected there to be a regression. They're going to have to play from the bottom of the playoffs. They're not winning championships, but they're still in the playoffs. They're still fighting. You still have to look out for the Spurs. Broadcasters still say things like, well, this is a Popovich coach team. You can't count them out in the playoffs, that kind of thing. And then you have your two young guys who are supposed to kind of be the building blocks to bring this team to the next level. Obviously, DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge are crucial, but those young guys, the offensive support that Lonnie Walker gives you, the defense on the perimeter that Murray, you knew Murray brought to the table from last year, those are all of a sudden gone. And Murray's probably not coming back this year at all. And so Lonnie Walker's gone for a while. Murray's gone for the season. That sets you back. Now you're kind of in this middle. Well, you can't really trade because you don't want to lose your young assets, obviously, and you don't really have, I mean, outside of LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan, there's not really guys on your roster that people are really pining for to trade to get maybe a younger perimeter guy or something like that. You don't want to bail on this season because Lonnie Walker is coming back. You still have LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan. And going into the season, you have Paul Gasol. You don't want to bail on the season and just try and sell parts for picks. And then Paul Gasol goes down. Now Lonnie Walker is coming back soon. He's supposed to be on the G League team this Friday, I believe the report was. But it's just this weird middle ground where the Spurs are, you kind of thought they would be winning games, but now they've got all these injuries. You don't want to sell pieces because that's your future. You don't want to sell assets around these older guys either because you don't want DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge to think that they're just going to tank this year. They want to win. They're all-star level players, and they're still putting up numbers that might have them in the conversation. They'll at least be in the conversation. LaMarcus Aldridge, I think, is an all-star probably this year if he continues at this level, but that's a conversation for another podcast. But they're still in the conversation for all-star games. They still want to compete to try and go to the playoffs. These guys still want to win. You're not just going to tank all of a sudden because of some injuries, especially when guys like Lonnie Walker could come back soon. Paul Gasol will come back at some point. You're going to have at some point a roster that looks pretty good for a playoff push. So they're in this weird kind of, well, we're not going to be great, but we're still going to win some games. And I think that weird spot around if this team is a playoff team or not is kind of reflective of how this team has looked home versus road. Because I was looking at some numbers. I was looking first at the last couple of games that the Spurs have played against the Bulls, against the Bucks, against the Pacers, and some. I thought the Pacers was a nice victory on the road. Then you see them get blown out by the Bucks, and I was just thinking, what is this team like, home versus road? They're probably a much better home team, right? I mean, in front of that San Antonio crowd, they're going to bring something a little different to the table. they're going to bring a different kind of juice, and that's kind of their strong suit. So the Timberwolves have played them at home, and now they're going to play them, or they've played them on the road. Now the Timberwolves are going to play them in their home building. So that's going to be the advantage, right? And it's kind of funky. They're 6-3 at home, the Spurs. They average 105.9 points per game at home, shooting 44% from the field, 37% from the three-point line, and average 22.3 assists at home. Pretty solid, obviously more of a defensive team, definitely plays in the half court. But then you look at on the road, 112.6 points per game despite a 4-7 record. They're shooting 46% from the field, 39% from three-point range, 24.5 assists per game. Better numbers on the road despite a worse record. And I get it, you look at the teams, maybe a few worse teams at home, maybe a few better teams that played on the road, that can factor in. But still, 4-7 on the road. And they're playing a couple more road games than home games. But despite all of that, 4-7 on the road, and they're averaging more points, shooting better, and from both the field and from three-point range, and more assists per game on the road. And again, I get it. It's a couple more games. But still, and the percentages should be the thing that sticks out to you too. They're shooting better from both areas, the field and from three-point range on the road, which is interesting. If you look at the stats, obviously because they're averaging more points, most of these players are doing better. Patty Mills is averaging a couple more points. DeMar DeRozan averaging a couple more points. The only one who's played, when you look at their stats individually, is playing marketably better at home than on the road is LaMarcus Aldridge, which I will talk about in a second. I want to get to that. But you look at the advanced stats now. So those are the traditional kind of box score, points per game, all that stuff, stats. Now we're going to get into, if you look at advanced stats, because I'm like, okay, there's got to be something where there's an advantage for the Timberwolves here when they're on the road. And so you look at the advanced stats, the defensive net rating for the Spurs on the road, they're getting 110 mark in defensive rating, and at home, 105. So their defense is better at home. They play a lot better defense at home. You can tell if you go through the scores, 114 is their defensive rating on the road, 114. So if you look at the games that they're in, a lot more shootouts, a lot higher, more high-scoring games on the road. Their pace, they're getting 100 mark in pace compared to at home, 97.65 pace mark. So there's a lot more half-court offense and defense going on at home. They're running the floor a lot more. Their pace is up. Their defensive net rating is down. They're scoring more. They're needing to score more on the road. So that's the key, right? That's the key right there. This team is playing well offensively on the road. They're playing well offensively on the road. But that is not equating to wins for the Spurs because their defensive rating takes a hit when they can't play everything in the half court. It takes a big hit, takes a big step back by almost a margin of 10. And so there's the key for the Timberwolves. So now, if you're looking at the Timberwolves, what do they need to do to take advantage of that? They need Derrick Rose to really push the pace of the basketball. They need Andrew Wiggins, Derrick Rose, Jeff Teague, Tyus Jones. If they could play Josh Okogie here, I think Josh Okogie would have a really good game. All those guys who are aggressive to the rim and really attack the rim with ferocity, they need to get those guys minutes and they need to get those guys opportunity. And the best way to give them even better looks, two best ways, is in transition and if you have Covington and Sarge starting out right away attacking this team defensively from the perimeter. Talked about this with Jeff Garcia at the beginning of the season when they opened against the Spurs. Their team does not have good perimeter defenders. Murray is out. He was going to be their best one there. Lonnie Walker was a guy who they're hoping you can come in as a rookie and be good on the perimeter defensively as well as offensively. But defensively, those guys out. You got to attack the perimeter, be vicious on the perimeter against the Spurs, and then transition. And then off of that, you can run underneath. You can run underneath those threes. You can attack the rim and transition. You know how good Josh Okogie, you know how good Derrick Rose is taking advantage of a defense that is in transition. And this team, the Spurs team, throughout the season has really struggled when you get games in the upper hundreds, when you get games fast-paced, when you start moving quickly, when they're having to defend the whole court, when they're having to play the whole court. Good offense for the Spurs teams, as weird as it is, especially this year in the NBA, as weird as it is, really good offense and a higher production of offense has not equaled wins on the road for the Spurs. And again, 4-7, it's not a crazy terrible road record, especially for the teams that has the amount of injuries that the Spurs have. But still, that is the roadmap to winning against the Spurs when they are on the road. So when the Timberwolves are at home, that's the way to do it. We're going to get to a quick break for some sponsors, and then we're going to continue to talk about some of the matchups in this game that I'm looking forward to. But first, some sponsors. You know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice. Usually, it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is, I don't know who's going to win, but if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet MyBookie. Trust me, guys, they're the best bet this season. They've been in the business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big today. I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me. That's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have an in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. And hey, you only have a few more weeks left of fantasy. If you're betting on fantasy football, you only have a few more weeks left. Get out there, take advantage of it. And if you're betting on fantasy basketball, you've got plenty of time to make a ton of money on your fantasy basketball over-under bets for points. So go take advantage of that. It's a fun little wrinkle as far as sports gambling there. Join now. MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. MyBookie will match the listener's first deposit 100% up to $1,000. And as a special segment for MyBookie, thank you, MyBookie, for being a sponsor of the show. As a special segment for the MyBookie sponsorship, we always do this when I do a MyBookie read. We're doing My Bet Today. My Bet Today for the Timberwolves. And all my money is going on Karl-Anthony Towns. Karl-Anthony Towns is going to be a monster this game. Like I said, if you're looking at the stats for LaMarcus Aldridge, he is better at home. He's one of the only players who is better at home versus on the road. And you look at all those numbers that I gave you on the team, they're conducive to scoring. Obviously, the stats that players are putting up, more impressive on the road. It's the only one that doesn't carry out for LaMarcus Aldridge. In 9 games at home, he is averaging 19.7 points, shooting 41% from the field, averaging 11.1 rebounds and 1.1 blocks. Now, you compare that to on the road, 16.7 points per game, 45% from the field. He's averaging 10 rebounds per game, and the only stat that is still holding out on the road, 1.3 blocks. He's still blocking a lot of guys, still playing fairly decent defense. He's averaging less assists. He's averaging less points. You got to, if you're Towns, you've got to attack LaMarcus Aldridge. And this is a guy who has consistently had the upper hand on Towns, despite him rising and getting better throughout the years, despite Towns being able to take advantage of matchups and play better and outplay other all-star level centers throughout the years. LaMarcus Aldridge has kind of always had his number, kind of always been able to get the edge up on him. Towns has been playing and locking in the last couple of weeks, so into a different kind of Towns. He's been consistently uber aggressive on the glass, consistently really good. And it helps that his teammates, I'm giving it up to the guys around him too, his teammates have consistently found ways to put him in better spots. There's been plenty of games where he's not having to take a ton of shots, and he's still finding 20 points because they're giving him really high efficiency shots. They're giving him a lot of one-on-one matchups. It really helps when he's out there with guys like Covington, Sarge. They're pulling bigger guys and taller guys, longer athletes away from the paint out to the perimeter, and that's giving him a lot cleaner looks at the basket when he's down in the post and when he's down fighting guys in the paint. And so that all helps. But at the end of the day, Towns is just playing really good. He's playing really smart basketball. He's playing really aggressive basketball on the boards. Now you come into this one and you know that you can beat this team, first of all, in transition. You know Towns is a big who can get down quick, who can flip the floor quickly, not only on a defense but on these big guys in the front court. But you also know that this team is going to be susceptible to getting into a high scoring game early, and you can take advantage of some of that, and you can take advantage of LaMarcus Aldridge not being as good on the road and go out, play aggressive right away, jump out and grab boards, be aggressive, grab some putbacks early. I'm expecting Towns to get over 20 points and over 15 boards in this game. So that Towns is my bet. That's my bookie bet for this game for the Timberwolves tonight. All right, so a couple other matchups. Like I said earlier, I would really love to see Josh Okogie in this game. I would really, he hasn't been getting a ton of time, I know, since Covington and Sarge joined the team, but if he could get 12 minutes in this game, I really think that not only in transition, but just running underneath the three-point shooting of some of the guards, of Covington, of Sarge, I think that his athletic ability running underneath that space and running in that space would really offer up some easy layups, some really easy dunks, I think, and that those kind of things get the crowd involved right away, get the crowd jumping and hopping and getting excited for this game, which I think is important against San Antonio, using every kind of facet that you have to your advantage against this team. And so I think that he would be great in this game. I think that he would offer some turnovers. And I would love to see him play. I just love to see him play in general. But I think here there's a real opportunity for him to add an extra wrinkle against the Spurs. But also, I think that Covington and Sarge are going to be really important in this game. Like I was saying, this team wants to play in the half court, and they want to play a slower style of basketball. So getting three-pointers, knocking down three-pointers early in the shot clock or in transition on this defense, I think it was going to be really important getting them to commit the Spurs defensively outside, getting them to commit to trying to slow down that three-point game. And they might just sell out on Towns and on Taj Gibson and say, you know what, we don't have the defenders, so if you're going to beat us, you're going to have to knock down like 10 threes. And they might just commit to that all game, which would be fine, because if you get Covington going early, if you get Wiggins knocking down shots early, all those guys kind of pitching in and knocking down shots, Saric, even Teague has had his moments from three-point range. He's had a couple games where he shot pretty well from three-point range. If you can get Rose shooting pretty well from three-point range, he's had some games where he's been really efficient from outside. Just get all these guys shooting and spacing the floor to the maximum is the way to really try and pick apart this Spurs team, because that's the big weakness, right? That's the big weakness that you're going to hear over and over again, is that the Spurs do not defend the three-point line well. They don't have the defenders for the three-point line. It's a big weakness that you knew about going into this season, and you've really got to take advantage of it. It didn't feel like they really took full advantage of it in that first game against the Spurs. This is where now you have a different team, a different look for the Spurs, some different guys to throw at them. This is where you really got to take advantage of it to the maximum here against the Spurs. So take advantage of the three-point line. Make sure you're not playing in the half court. Don't play their style. Don't play their pace. They're susceptible to high-scoring affairs on the road. And in those high-scoring affairs, when their defense is really lacking, when they have to play to a different team's pace, that's when they lose games. That's when they consistently lose games. Seven of their losses on the road, and those are that's what the stats bear out. So I think that the Timberwolves win this game 118 to 110, and I think that's the formula. You just got to be high-scoring. You got to make sure Towns is playing aggressive early, and we talked about this the other day, how this team needs to get out to fast starts. If you're looking, I think if the Timberwolves are leading at halftime, it's because they're shooting something like 48% from the three-point line, and at the halftime, they've already knocked down like eight threes. They've already knocked down eight threes. You've got Teague with six assists. Covington's probably got 13, something like that. Towns has like 9-10 rebounds. Something like that is what I'm expecting from the box score if they're up on the Spurs at the half. And I think that's how you find success if you're the Timberwolves, is feed those particular matchups, feed those particular guys, run that style of offense, force the Spurs into that style of play. So that's what I got here for you guys. Thank you so much for listening to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.